I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, guys, this week has been an emotional roller coaster for me. Megan, I think it probably has been for you too.
I mean, absolutely. We have so much to talk about.
So I think to level us out, we needed to bring in a special guest co-host today. So everybody help us welcome Bali Chinani from Family Karma. Bali, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good. We're just like dealing with the whirlwind of Bravo at the moment, which I'm sure you leading up to the new season are going through the same.
Absolutely. And I'm super flattered that you like referred to me as the one to level you out on this emotional roller coaster that I'm on as well. So
we're all going to help each other.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're all here to help each other.
Thank you. As I'm sipping on my cocktail, pretending it's bone broth.
Oh, okay. I know. I just had a coffee. I was like, should I actually have some wine? Like, I don't know.
Yes.
That's where I'm at today.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, give us a quick update. How is O'Malley? How's your daughter? What's going on in your life?
Everything is great. You know, the world is a really, really challenging place at the moment to live in. But having said that, we're all really excited about season two. We're all good. We're happy. We're healthy. And there's obviously so much more for you to see June 2nd.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
You know, we'd be remiss without mentioning that May is Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders Heritage Month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to celebrate, yes. I think it is great to talk to you about the representation that we see on Family Karma. I mean, in a lot of ways, I feel like it was barrier breaking for Bravo. Mm-hmm. What has it been like for you to bring your story to the network?
I mean, I think it's been just, I think Family Karma was barrier breaking, like globally as a platform for us Indian Americans, and to be able to like showcase and be vulnerable and talk about my story, which in hindsight is old news to me and my support system. Right. But I didn't realize going into it, there are just so many people that would find me relatable and reach out and thank me for being brave and, you know, for what I thought was almost cowardice, for what I thought I did was almost cowardice, to be called brave and to be just sought out to say thank you or ask for advice. Just knowing that I was able to help by just telling something that was old news to me has been life-changing.
Wow. Yeah. Were there certain aspects of Indian American culture you were most excited to share with audiences when the show first aired?
Absolutely. I mean, I think coming into Family Karma, Indians were already being embraced for our food, music, fashion, but I was like really excited to kind of show the country and then the world that A, we don't all talk like this. We're not all doctors and lawyers and we're all like literally the same. We're all together. We have the same stories no matter where you come from.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about the show is that it's unique in not just the diversity in race and ethnicity, but also the different ages that are represented, different religions, mm-hmm. different sexual orientations, and, you know,
yep.
definitely different personalities.
To say the least.
What has the fan response been since the show aired?
They've just been so kind. I mean, obviously, you have your trolls, and I've always said if you didn't have your trolls, you wouldn't be relevant. So thank you. Having said that, the love has been immense and really humbling. Again, being able to reach out to people that we didn't anticipate being our audience and know that they just found us easy to watch, relatable to watch, and were intrigued by us, not in a toxic way, but in a happy, light way, was just great, because we did air like in the early hours of the pandemic where the world was Chicken Little and everybody's mindset was so stressful. So it was just, it was great to know that we've been received with an immense amount of love.
Yeah.
It's been really wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, totally embraced. I mean, obviously we can't wait for season two. It premieres on June 2nd.
Yay.
What are you most excited to share with people this season?
The fact that I wore lashes every time I was on camera.
The glow up is real.
I mean, I was just like watching season one. I was like, I'm not sure who I thought I was. Like, girl, do not leave your house without concealer and lashes on. Who do you think you are? You're no natural beauty. So I'm really excited to see if that translated well.
Oh, stop.
I'm like, really, you wore that greasy ponytail. Really, you did that.
Who do you think from season one going into season two had the best glow up?
Anisha.
Mm. Ah, okay. Yeah, I agree. That's true.
Anisha, she has always been a really, really beautiful girl, but she, you know, became vegan and started exercising, and she's just like, if she couldn't look better, she does. Crazy. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we're going to get into a lot of the shows that aired this week, but first I wanted to talk about some breaking Bravo news. Portia from Real Housewives of Atlanta is engaged.
I mean, oh my God, Portia, it's only Monday.
Why? I know. anyone who has been living under a rock, Portia announced on Instagram that she is engaged to Simon, who is Fallon's ex, who we met this past season of Atlanta. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She says they've only been dating a month, but that this is it. And it's for real. And it's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do we begin?
Well, how good is the sex? It has to be amazing.
So my thoughts are, she may have secured Fallon a job for next season. I think it's actually kind of smart.
I mean, listen, if anybody's got the formula down, it's her.
Yeah.
You know, it's about like season 13, I believe, is wrapping up. And she's like, okay, well, everybody knows that I did great things this past year for everything the world and I believe in. And now let's just make sure they don't get bored because I'm coming back.
So true.
I might be kind of gross with this, but maybe it's true love, you guys. And I just wish I could be present for those first dates. Like, how good were they that a month later you're getting engaged?
That's true.
You know, there's a fine line between perception and what reality is. And it's going to be interesting to watch it pan out. I mean, I was just, you know, when she announced it, and I'm just like, girl, I'm still going on pure adrenaline from the weekend, and it's Monday. Like, I'm exhausted now. But
100%.
Good for her. She's the gift that keeps on giving.
I know. I just want to know Fallon's thoughts. I mean, she hasn't said anything, right?
As of this recording, no.
I don't believe. I believe like people are posting things about, like alluding to things that she's captioned with in some of her previous posts. But I don't think she's made a statement, but somebody give her a peek.
Please.
I mean, for sure. For sure. And, you know, I honestly, one of my first things that I did was check what Kenya was saying, look at the comments, and, you know, the comments on Portia's post. It was so many housewives coming through, you know, Shamia, Margaret from New Jersey being like, congrats, congrats. Andy, you know, said mazel. And then there was a comment from Marlo that said, ooh, I'm speechless. And it was the praying hands emoji. And I was like, I wonder who called who first, Kenya or Marlo, and what that conversation between the two of them was like, because I mean, I can only imagine what Kenya must have thought when she saw this, unless some people might have known before Portia even announced it, but I don't know.
I mean, first of all, let's not get it twisted. I commented also, and I was like, this is everything, because that just leaves it very vague
as to what my thoughts were or are going to be. Having said that, I wanted to be in the moment and make sure she felt supported, because at the end of the day, if it is love, then yay.
Yeah.
You know, also, I'm not trying to get on the wrong side of Portia.
Right.
So I'm like, hey girl, this is everything.
Smart.
Like whatever it may be, it's everything. Right. But I so badly want to be on that group chat with Kenya and Marlo as well.
I would love to know. Well, we also got a nice treat at the beginning of the week, and that was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills taglines for season 11. So let's play those for everybody.
This town is a game of chess, but no one's taken this queen down.
My lips are legendary, and they will never gloss over the truth.
If you want a starring role in my life, you better drop the act.
Dress like there's no tomorrow, and then tomorrow, do it again.
Anyone who doubts my exquisite manners can kiss my exquisite derriere.
Hollywood is full of pretenders, and I slay them all.
The strongest substance on earth isn't diamonds, it's me.
Okay, thoughts on taglines, Megan?
Well, obviously, I think that most people would be in agreement that Erica's was the one that we're all waiting for. Like, what would she say? Would she mention the divorce? And she sort of did, you know, the strongest substance on earth isn't diamonds, it's me. I love that one. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Were you annoyed, Eric, that Kyle once again references like in this town in her tagline?
You know what? Surprisingly, no. And I go back and forth with Kyle. I mean, she's an OG, so I have respect. But I thought that this tagline, at this point, she has to claim that queen title. At this point, she's earned it and she is the queen. And the little, you know, reference to chess, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with Kyle having that moment.
Bali, did you have a favorite?
God, yes, I do. But let me talk about what's not my favorite.
Oh, yeah. That's better.
Let's talk about what's not my favorite, Kyle's, because as much as I agree at this point, because there's just no competition, she's by default gotten the queen title.
Mm.
But like, she's the Princess Margaret to the crown. Like, can we please, let's not forget that. So, you know, I think that I'd be more generous in giving her that queen title if she wasn't so quick to constantly claim it as her own.
Mm.
Like, I don't want to take away from the fact that, yes, at this point, you kind of are, just because there's nobody else.
Do you know, I kind of felt like Sutton's was almost a bit of a wink or a nod to Lisa Vanderpump's from a, I don't remember if it was her last tagline or the season before she left, but it was about her ass,
her
remember?
Arse,
and
yeah.
So, yeah. And so I think Sutton's might have been just a little bit of a wink to that.
Yeah, I think it was cheeky and I thought it was cute, pun intended. I do love Dorit's because I think it was just completely true to exactly who she is. I think everybody else like raked in whatever they think is, you know, what they stand for, which doesn't necessarily pan out to be the truth of who they are. But Dorit just delivers outfit after outfit.
Dorit's like, I know what I'm good at,
exactly.
And it's dressing up.
You know, she stayed in her lane because Lisa calling her lips iconic, I get it. Legendary, I get it. But sticking to the truth, okay, glossing over the truth or whatever, I'm like, okay, so now we again, perception versus reality. And I think Dorit was like, you know what, it's going to be about my clothes, and I respect that.
Rinna crowdsourced on Twitter for her tagline, and a fan said, oh my god, she used a variation of mine, and Lisa retweeted it and was like, thank you for your help.
Oh, that's great. Well, props to her giving shout outs, you know.
Yeah.
Do you wish Family Karma had taglines?
I do. Funny enough, I do. But I'm also become acutely aware that we're not the Housewives franchise. So, and you know what? There's 87,000
right.
of us. So
that would be the longest title sequence ever.
Ever. That was, yeah, it would literally be the episode. And then you're like, there you have it. Episode
I mean, all that being said, have you thought about what your tagline would be?
Initially, like when we were filming and playing with season one, you know, because we really had no idea what our end product would look like. I think part of me was like, oh my God, maybe they're going to ask us for taglines, because again, just not knowing what the end product is going to be. So I toyed with a couple of things early on, but not anymore.
Yeah.
Like now it almost like gives me anxiety.
Right. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, for sure.
It is. It really is. Like, I mean, look at what we've just spent a few minutes talking about. That would stress me out.
Yeah, no kidding. Listening to people rip them apart yeah, once you do
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, we have some exciting things coming up the rest of the month that I just wanted all our listeners to be aware of. MJ from Shaws of Sunset is going to be guest co-hosting in a couple of weeks. Plus, we have an interview with Sutton Strack. Then a bonus episode featuring an interview with the newest Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Crystal Kung Minkoff. And that's going to come out right after the Beverly Hills premiere.
Woo-hoo.
So
yay!
Everyone be looking out for that stuff.
Yay.
Right, Eric, what are we talking about this week?
Okay, so obviously we have to cover Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 3, which some of the most recent news may influence our perception of that recap yeah. and what happened. And we have Real Housewives of New York City, second episode of season 13, and the finale of Real Housewives of New Jersey. We get to meet Teresa's new man, Louis.
All right, let's get into it. Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Bali, I feel like maybe we should start by just getting your take on the whole season. I mean, I know it's a lot to break down, but what did you think about this whole dungeon party situation that has come to a head?
I mean, let me tell you, the whole dungeon situation, I'm still super confused about. I'm just like, what are we, like, are we yo-yoing back and forth between season, like four seasons ago and now?
Right.
You know, like, I'm just like, I don't get it. Having said that, I think that they've all come a really long way. I think each of them had a pretty strong season in their own right on like their own personal journeys. But I feel like this upcoming season for everybody's shows are going to be like that, because 2020 itself was such a challenging year.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's going to be interesting to see how everybody's like just life and theories pan out versus what they used to be. Atlanta, I'm just so confused.
Yeah.
They realize they're on reality. There are cameras, right? They know this, right? I'm so confused.
You would think.
Yeah, I'm like so confused as to why some of them are like, wait, but why are we even talking about this? What kind of friend are you? And, you know, I will say Kenya Moore has always had me at hello.
Thank you.
She's always had me at hello. Say what you want. The girl is consistent on being fabulously toxic.
That is such a good way to put it.
She gets it every time. She goes in there, she delivers, and she doesn't have a filter. She goes in guns blazing, regardless of the consequences. And everybody's like every season of every reunion, they're all just staring at her like, you're so vile. And I'm like, are you guys new here?
Right. Meet Kenya. I mean,
yeah. Are you guys new here? And like, you guys are shocked that she's bringing up that she heard 47 people banging.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, Megan, I'd love to hear your perspective, because Bali, Megan and I go back and forth a lot. Megan is often, you know, not a big fan of Kenya, and I find myself very often defending her. So,
yeah.
You know, I want to start by just saying, you know, Kenya didn't start a rumor, right? She heard noises that actually happened, and Candy essentially confirmed it, and she pursued what she heard while everyone was there filming a cast trip. Is it still a petty move? Of course, 100%. But it's not like something necessarily happened off camera, not on a cast trip, that is coming into
Correct.
The storyline. Like, cameras might have been down, it might have been the morning, all of that, but it still happened in the house while everyone was there.
Mm-hmm.
I think where Kenya sort of lost me, the fact that she was saying, well, look, you know, Portia and I aren't friends, Tanya and I aren't friends, so why wouldn't I call them out on this? And to me, I was like, why should you being friends be the thing? Like, I mean, Portia's single. She can do what she wants. So I think that's a different thing. But Tanya is in a relationship. You know that putting that out there is really putting her relationship in jeopardy. And yes, I think that the responsibility, of course, is on Tanya to not allegedly do anything with Bolo. But still, it's like there are real life consequences to this. And I feel like what Kenny was saying was, well, if Tanya and her were friends, of course I would never have put her business out there, but we're not. And I was like, well, I don't know that that should be the thing. Like, I think you're either someone who doesn't want to ruin someone's life or you aren't.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Tanya did put herself at the scene of the crime before Kenya did. You know, Kenya yeah. said she heard a second voice in that room. She didn't really say who she thought it was. And then at the dinner, Tanya was quick to say, well, I yep. was in Portia's room the whole night. So I don't know.
Exactly. I agree. I mean, I agree with the statement, like you're either the type to ruin somebody's life or not. Having said that, all of them know what they've signed up for. All of them know that there's no such thing as cameras off.
Mm. Yeah.
There, you know, you're filming. You're even if you're no longer filming, you're in a house with a cast on who you're on a TV show with. And there's no such thing as like, nobody's going to keep your shit together.
Right.
Like you're all on that island by yourself at that point. And if you're in a relationship, then go into your room and lock your bedroom door.
You know, one of the things that I think everyone does love about Family Karma is the relationship you guys have with one another. It's not just these like a group of women who sort of are or sort of aren't friends. Like there's actual, you know, familial ties mm-hmm. and, you know, years and years of friendships. Does that change things? I mean, do you feel a protectiveness of the people on your show? Would you ever tell everything because you are filming?
You know, that's an interesting question. I want to say yes and no. And that only depends on the accountability the other person is taking for their stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things that irks me the most is people who just sort of deflect and take zero accountability. And that drives me to drink. I'm 1000% okay with somebody saying, hey, Bali, I fucked up. I said this about you. I didn't mean it. You know, I don't like you, whatever. I'm so okay with an honest conversation, even if it's not in my favor. It's the lack of accountability that drives me nuts. And I think that's what was irking me here. It was like, and I know what you're saying about Kenya saying that just because we're not friends, you know, I'm going to call it out. But
yeah,
I kind of get that a little bit because they've done it to her season after season after season. They've dragged mm-hmm. all of her shit. And I think like her point was, hey, we're in the house together and this is not a rumor I'm starting. This is something that's happening while we're all together. And if roles were reversed and it were me, you guys would be having the exact same conversation,
yeah,
if not even worse. And again, it's Kenya. Are you guys new here? Like,
right. Like she's not going to take the high road. No. You know, that's not what she's known no. for.
Never.
No. And as far as like, speaking of high road, Candy, like stop being Switzerland.
Mm.
I'm bored by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm bored by like the passive aggressive looks and comments and then being Switzerland. I'm bored.
Yeah. I think it gets tricky when it comes to the sex part. Like it's not a, did you or did you not say this thing about someone? It's like something that, is that our business? I genuinely don't have an answer for that because I am conflicted. I do think like when you're on a show, it's all up for consumption, but at the same time, there's a reason cameras don't go into the bedrooms,
right.
You know? So that's why I feel a little bit like that's maybe where Candy's silence comes from.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Maybe. Yeah. That's a great point actually. And truthfully, like
it's nobody's business. Because like you said, allegedly at the time, Portia is single. And even if she's not single, it's really nobody's business who she's having sex with. Nobody cares. And like, the reality of it is nobody cares. She's a grown-ass adult who can do what she wants, how she wants to do it. I think the thing that was irking me is that you can't come in being holier than thou about everything across the board because you've been part of a really, really large movement that we've all, you know, had to sit up and take accountability for and reflect on and become more self-aware. And I feel like Portia, you're not all of a sudden the Mother Teresa. I think you're amazing. I think you're a bad bitch. And I think you should go out and fuck whoever you want to whenever you want to.
Yeah. You know, and maybe this is because I love Portia so much, mm-hmm. but I honestly think if Tanya wasn't involved, she would have admitted to it. Because I think it only makes her right.
I know, that's good. What I was
because
thinking.
It's like, oh, you're an activist by day and you're banging strippers by night. Like, that's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I was living for Portia and again, as far as this conversation is concerned, I'm not team Kenya. I'm more team Portia because at the end of the day, if it comes right down to the sex of it,
yeah,
she can go bang whoever she wants. More power to you. More power to you, especially while she's rocking that hot as shit short haircut. I was like,
oh my God,
yes.
The Tamron Hall. I couldn't believe that Marlo came for Portia's looks at the reunion. I was like, Marlo, there's a lot you can say, but you can't say anything about the way Portia looks. She's perfect.
Now take notes and go get lipo.
Okay,
it's
stop.
You're, so now you're. No, I said
you
need lipo.
You got the big teeth. You got the big horse teeth. You guys.
Ooh, are you serious?
She's stunning. Yeah, she's stunning. And anybody who can rock a haircut like that with the strong features and that strong personality she has. Wow, she took my breath away. She really was beautiful at the reunion. She was taking my breath away. I was just like, okay, you can't be Mother Teresa for absolutely everything. But I think you're right. I think if it wasn't for Tanya, she probably would have owned it.
Well, you know what's interesting too, talking about, you know, the sex of it all. We kind of have a similar situation going on with LaToya and the Prophet. Like, should that be?
No, isn't that crazy? That's like a sentence that is actually
right.
I don't exactly. I'm like, how does that even?
I don't
sense?
Even know. But whatever happened between them happened off camera, and Drew is the one who's tried and failed multiple times to bring it onto the show, especially with that finale mess with the recording, and it made no sense and nobody could hear anything. So I don't know. It's interesting that Drew is on Portia's side through this whole experience with what happened at, you know, the bachelorette party and everything, but she's then in some ways slut shaming LaToya and trying to say it's because the Prophet backed out of her baby blessing and it's causing problems in her church and all of this other stuff. But I'm like, shouldn't what happened with LaToya and the Prophet be off limits then too?
Yeah. Well, I think that's why Candy is so upset with Drew about that too. Like, at least she's consistent in terms of the sex stuff where she's just like, stop. Like, that's you know, that's not our business. But yeah, I agree.
I just think there's a fine line when you're on reality TV, what becomes everybody's business versus what's just yours.
I know.
There's just such a fine line and they get so blurred, but it's just the standards, there's just so many double standards because everybody's been in the hot seat at some point or the other where they're like, it's none of your business, but then they're so quick to turn around and, you know, point fingers elsewhere. So the lines are blurred. As far as like LaToya and the Prophet are concerned, I'm just still trying to wrap my head around that statement.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm still digesting that.
I just don't even know where to go with that.
Oh my God. And the praying on stage before. Like, I was.
Has that ever happened on a reunion stage?
I don't know. No. But I was sort of with. It was funny for Kenya to turn to Andy and be like, this is blasphemous.
My spirituality, which I don't take lightly. So can we say a word of prayer?
before we talk about this? Because I feel uncomfortable, but I think
God
we need
to
touch and agree before we get into this conversation, because that's how serious it is for me.
Of course.
All right.
I'm with prayer.
May we bow our heads, please?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask right now that you open our ears, open our hearts to make it make sense, Father. Anoint my tongue, because the truth needs to come out, Father. Allow the truth to be revealed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And she, it's amazing. Then she can say it with her high cheekbones and her perfect eyeshadow. It's just funny. And you know, the funniest part for me watching Atlanta reunions is Andy's face. Because he's always like,
yes.
Yeah. He looks like he's mortified, scared, exhilarated. It's just like a kid at a candy store.
Absolutely.
It's funny. It's a Super Bowl, I feel.
I will say, on a positive note, I think my prediction, Megan, about LaToya and Drew potentially becoming friends is coming true. I think by the end of this reunion, it seemed like they were finding some common ground. And even Marlo co-signed it. She was like, I could see these two having a good time together. Yeah. So I'm hoping next season, in addition to whatever we may see with Portia and Fallon and Simon, all that, that LaToya and Drew will come in on a much more positive level than they have been this season.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just have one thing to say about Atlanta. They never fail. They just never fail to blow your mind. Like, it's fantastic. And I think Marlo is, again, yet another woman on that cast who just, she says exactly what she needs to make sure she's got half of that orchard.
Just half.
Just half. Like, when she went in for the lipo and the horse teeth, I was like, good grief.
Yeah.
What is happening?
She never fails.
Yeah, she never. What is holy drip?
Oh my God. Yeah, what?
It's the holy drip.
Did you say holy drip?
Not the holy drip.
I don't know, but somebody's going to patent that or, you know, copyright that and make something from it.
Right? I was just like, I'm not sure what holy drip means, but it sounds fantastic. And then Marlo ending with, I haven't attacked anybody in 10 years.
Oh, I mean, I did think that was low of Portia to be like, I'm scared. I need security. I was like, oh, Portia.
Yeah. Yeah. If Portia wants her mess left in the past, she's got to leave everybody else's in the past, too.
And I need security when we leave her. I'm very afraid of you.
All right. Thank you. You need to go back to jail. Thank you.
You need to go back to jail.
Yeah, I agree. And I will say, though, every single one of those women is just drop dead beautiful.
Yes, yeah. I know. And they need to stop pretending. It's, and you know, right. Absolutely.
They're really, really pretty. So I was loving it.
Any last thoughts before we move on to New York?
I mean, I can't wait to find out if Portia is like sitting there and not wanting to take accountability was because she might have already been in a relationship and it was like
good point.
No, it's true. I mean, the timing is suspicious.
Yeah, so I love you, Portia.
We love you, Portia and Kenya.
I love you so much.
Roni.
All right. Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay.
My first thought was just that Ebony's apartment is insane and she should have worked harder to make that relationship work. So she could keep it.
Oh my God, I know. Tribeca, those windows, come on.
Gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. I was, and you know, that's one of my favorite things about watching Roni is just the actual watching the landscape of New York City. Like, I love it. As much as I love the plush homes of all the other franchises, I just love watching the landscape of New York City.
Yeah,
it's just so exhilarating to me.
Good apartment porn, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Really, really gorgeous. Yeah, her apartment was stunning, as was Leah's pink bow. Yeah,
I know, right? She's walking in like a present. Yeah. She's like a gift.
Yeah, love, 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 love.
I have to point out that I was right, Megan, last week when I said, I'm worried about Sonia. She's back in the townhouse. What if she starts regressing? And then she sits down with this healer. And what does she bring up? Her divorce, which was 100 years ago at this point. I mean, come on. At what point is she going to move forward? I think she's got to get out of the townhouse.
Well, I had stability with my husband. He really loved me.
Right.
For me.
Right.
Makeup, no makeup. You know, bra, no bra. He made me feel secure, loved.
And then what happened?
He was gone.
Right. Just breathe. Breathe through that. Come on.
He was gone.
That's okay.
I think I'm just confused because, you know, I think that if you're the one being left, of course, it's going to be harder. You know, it's still a decade is a long time to still be processing that. But at the same time, the way she talks about it, even in this episode, it sounded like she's the one who's did the leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then why is she still processing all of this? I don't understand. And it's not even me being like shady. I just truly don't understand. And I wish I could.
Right. Well, I think it's, you know, memories rushing back to her being in the townhouse. Quincy's getting older. There's probably a number of things that are just bubbling up for her being back in her old life a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also think that Sonia would probably have a better handle emotionally on her divorce if she wasn't in this constant hamster wheel of what seems like a financial stress that she lives with. Like she lives with so much stress financially. And I think being in the townhouse and being reminded of what she had and who she was married to just really, I think, just drains her emotionally, because not only did she lose the marriage, but now she's like just constantly stressed out financially. And I think a lot of that divorce baggage is the fact that she has to live up to the Joneses when she doesn't have what the Joneses have.
Mm. Yeah, that is a good point. And we even see in the preview for next week's episode, some comment comes up from Ramona about Wells Fargo. And before you know it, it's like Morgan, letters. It's like she totally reverts into that state of mind where you're right. She probably does feel this incredible pressure to keep up even on her own, still carrying the Morgan name.
Wells Fargo has better rates.
You want to talk about Wells Fargo?
Yep, absolutely. And like, you know, if her deals and her businesses worked out and all of a sudden she came into a good, comfortable amount of money, I'm pretty sure that divorce would be let go of. Like, I'm not sure she'd be discussing it the way she discusses it so emotionally. I do think that a lot of it is tied to the financial ramifications that she's had to deal with.
Yeah, that honestly does make a lot of sense to me, because like if it is this constant up and down for her, of course you're going to remember how easy it once was when you were part of the Morgan family.
And I relate to that because, you know, I used to be married to a really wealthy man. So it took me a minute to get used to what my new life was going to be that I chose for myself. And having said that, there were days where I was super stressed out being a single mom, and it was so hard to decipher what I was stressed out about, the death of my marriage or the death of being a rich wife.
Yeah.
So, I kind of get where she's at. I really just want her to get like one break because I love her so much.
Yeah, I agree.
I know. Let's all go buy a Sonia Morgan dress on her website.
Seriously, we must protect her. We must.
So then the girls are off to the Hamptons for a Burning Man themed party. And I cannot think of a group less likely to go to Burning Man.
Right?
Well, Leah for sure. I mean, Leah, I'm surprised she hadn't been. Didn't she say she had never been before, but she was supposed to go and then it didn't happen last year or whatever. So Leah, 100%, I could see that happening, but no way can I imagine anyone else. And just the irony almost of it being a Burning Man party in the Hamptons is just.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on.
But so good. And at Ramona's house.
Of all people. Right. Which, by the way, I think she crushed her look. I loved her hair. I loved her makeup. The outfit she put on, I think she nailed it.
Oh my God, I think she looked stunning. She's got a banging body.
Yeah.
She really, I was like, I was super jealous and had to take a break and like go to the bathroom and just sit by myself for a second because I'm like, her boobs look great.
You're like, what does she do and what can I do?
I was like, holy cow, that's a really hot woman. She looked great and her house is so beautiful. And her lunch spread was really gorgeous.
I know. She knows how to have a party. But
yeah,
that being said, that doesn't go so well when she makes a comment about the house.
Yeah.
Are you talking
Michelle.
To me?
I meant Diana.
No, I'm Michelle.
No, you meant Michelle.
Ooh. Okay, Michelle.
Ugh, I get my help wrong.
She says she get her help wrong.
Are any of us surprised Ramona says the help?
No.
I'm not.
Really? You know, like, because again, it's one of those things where it's just, yeah, I don't think it's meant with malice or bad intention, but it's also like, you're really not taking it upon yourself to proactively be better, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. I cringed a little bit when I saw that as well. And not because of what Ramona said so much, but because I've used the same word as well. I've said my helpers or help, thinking when I'm using that, I'm actually being better than I used to be, because horribly so, when I lived in India, and the people that still live in India call their staff servants.
Wow.
They still till today say my maid, my servant, my cook, my maid, my servant. And I became very privy to how like belittling and horrifying that was. So when I used the word help, I thought that I was actually bettering myself and not using servant or maid anymore.
Right.
And through the past couple of years and being, you know, Anushka's mom, I've realized, no, that's not okay either. So I cringed when Ramona said it, because it just reminded me of like when I've used the word, but like you said, it wasn't coming from a place of malice or ill intent. I actually thought that I had graduated right. to understanding and being more respectful.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how Ebony speaks to Ramona and what she says, because I want to learn.
Right, right. And I think Ramona does too in her own way. And maybe to your point, yeah. Molly, it's almost two steps forward, one step back. Like she might have thought
Correct.
The same thing. She was using a term that was acceptable or appropriate, whatever. And
right.
it won't be until Ebony says something that she will understand, oh, okay, that's also not really acceptable.
Yeah, I am. I'm really interested to watch on how she schools Ramona about it, because I want to learn from it. Because I do come from a culture where our families and our friends back in India are still calling their staff and, you know, the people that really just help live your, like, literally from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, somebody is doing something for you. And I want to learn how to address them without it being horribly offensive. So I'm interested to see what she says, because I want to learn from it. Having said that, I also think it's interesting that Ebony was irked by that, obviously, and rightfully so, but still refers to her friends and that group of friends as white women, white girl trash. I have white friends.
She also referred to a master bathroom, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because I've also recently learned that that reference to a master bedroom, master bathroom is tied to, you know, like slave owners and plantations.
Really?
And that's how they would refer to. Yes. And I'd never even thought about it.
Oh my God, I didn't
know
that.
So, you know, it was when I heard that mentioned as well, I was like, oh God, is that going to be another thing? And nothing came up yet, but maybe in their conversation next week, it will be more of a part of the topic.
I didn't know about bathrooms at all. I love Ebony so much. She's going to hate me.
No, she knows. Everybody is learning. Ebony's great. You'll have to listen to my interview with her, because we're releasing that as a bonus episode. She is really great. And she's very understanding. And she grows a lot, I think, over the course of this season with these women, particularly with Sonia, which I think we get a glimpse at actually at the healer circle.
Yes.
When Ebony is very vulnerable and she is open about her family and how she feels about what it means to have a family and how you define it. And when it gets to Sonia, Sonia talks about wanting to be more vulnerable. So I think we're going to see a really interesting connection between those two over the course of the season.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be interesting to see play out.
I'm just completely in love with Ebony because, you know, season after season, you know, the New York women are just so entertaining. But I think with Ebony, outside of even just finding her entertaining, I'm so excited to learn from her because she brings so much to the table. Like, I think she'll actually, like, the world we live in right now needs an Ebony on Real Housewives in New York because she's got everything we all are looking for as strong women, and then she can teach you. And I'm really excited to like hear her perception of like what we've gotten accustomed to with New York.
I also just found her super relatable in the fact that she left the party early without like Irish exited. And just because she was like, I just am sort of exhausted right now. And I'm kind of curious because, you know, New York has been slower to get back to normal because of the pandemic. And as we're starting to do more and more social things over the summer, I'm just going to be curious to see like my own energy levels. Like, am I going to still be able to hang like I used to, or is like being in isolation for so long going to, you know, have me pulling an Ebony?
No. I think she's great. I think she's really funny. And I think she's going to ruffle their feathers.
There's going to be someone else ruffling feathers pretty soon. And that's Heather Thompson, which is a bit surprising, right?
Mm-hmm. I just feel like of all the ex-housewives, who knew it would be Heather Thompson that's controversial, you know?
And like Heather was the one that seemed like she wanted to run in the opposite direction and wanted to be off the show. So it's interesting that she's like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I think that's Leah's point is, why is she still talking in the press about her time on Roni and blowing up people's spots allegedly with some of the things that she's been saying, which were pretty crazy. So maybe that's where Leah's coming at it from. Like, I thought you wanted nothing to do with this. So why are you still back here filming? Why are you talking about people in the press? So it's going to be interesting to see the two of them go at it, because I would never have predicted that being a thing.
But no, I'm fully on Leah's side. Like, I totally get where Leah's coming from, because that was my thought exactly. I was like, oh, okay, Heather, now? Really?
Right.
Okay. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I don't know. Any final thoughts on Roni?
I'm just ready for Sonia's breakdown next episode.
The Wells Fargo moment.
Yes.
I mean, and I just want that Fountain of Youth thing. I just want to know what she's really doing, because she looks great.
She'd probably tell you, it's just water. I just drink water.
She's her awkwardness is just so great. It's just so great.
It's oddly relatable at times.
She's just so perfectly awkward. It's so endearing. I love it.
So I spoke with Toya Bush Harris from Married to Medicine about the March on Washington, her adorable mother-in-law, and Anila's finances. Plus, I asked her if she's still in touch with Mariah. Here's that interview. All right, Married to Medicine fans, we are here with Toya Bush Harris. Toya, what's going on?
What's going on with you? I am wonderful.
Hanging out in your car?
Yes, I am. You know, it's carpool time, honey.
You're like, this is the only place I can hide from my family.
Exactly. You leave a little bit early, you get to meditate, you get to relax a moment.
You go. Wait, listen to some gospel, right? Don't you usually put on gospel with the kids?
I do. And then I have my little praying wife and praying parent books right here.
Nothing like a little me time. So we found out recently that you put your house on the market, which I think a lot of people, including me, were very surprised by. Like, how could you leave that closet behind?
You know what? I actually have a dream of a new closet.
Fair enough,
I have a dream of a closet with a balcony.
That's the next level, right? That's the next logical level.
Yes. Okay. Didn't Lisa Vanderpump leave a beautiful house, and now she's in another beautiful house?
That's true. That is a good point.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So do you have your eyes on a new place at the moment, or is it still kind of in between?
I do. I do. I do. Ooh. I do.
Okay. I do. How far away from where you are now?
Well, it's about 15 minutes away. It's a little closer to my son's new school. Uh-huh. And it's beautiful, actually. I love the neighborhood because it is one way in and one way out. And it's, since it's closer to their school, it actually probably has more students that are actually going to the school. But, you know, I'm thinking that since my sons are going to stay within the school, this is the perfect area. But the view and the backyard of the house is amazing. And it would allow me to have a tennis court.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of pluses. There's a lot of pluses.
Right, right. Now, when you guys are looking for a new place, I mean, how much of it is like what you're looking for versus what Dr. Eugene is looking for? Is there a balance?
So you know what? Eugene is actually, he goes with the flow, but he knows that I'm always looking for both of us, you know? And so one of the things that I love is that my husband loves to cook. And my husband needs a outdoor that is larger. He's doing his thing right now. And like what people don't understand is that he really does enjoy cooking. Now, I just want to make sure that he has an environment where he just can relax. And he needs a outdoor kitchen that just, you know, really just appeals to him right now. And right now he has a nice space. But he needs a place where he can just sit down and just, you know, do his thing, you know, because I love the fact that he loves to cook.
Right.
And so I look for the both of us when it comes to our home shopping. Trust me.
Got it. Well, yeah. I can't wait to see the new place because hopefully, you know, next season of the show, maybe you guys will be in there. So we'll get to scope it out. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for the new place. Well, let's go back a little bit this season because I want to talk about what the experience was like for all of you to participate in the March on Washington.
Well, you know what, to be honest, it was very uplifting. I mean, although we had our little moments where, you know, of course we were arguing like cats and dogs, but you know, the majority of the time was very positive. When we were out there on the front lines, just chanting and just listening to the positive speeches, it was so amazing. I had never would have thought in a million years that I would experience something like that with my husband and with my friends. It was just uplifting. It was powerful. I mean, it didn't wait to come to my children about. I really loved it.
Yeah. And you guys were also doing, you know, so much work on the COVID front, specifically being down there and testing people. So in the conversations you were having there, what was it like to connect with the public directly in that way?
Oh, that was, you know what? That was one of the most important things, to watch my husband in action, because to be honest with you, I've never able to really see him at work, but to see how, I can't go in his, you know, go into his office and just sit there and watch him, but to see how he literally intertwines with people and how people love him, you know, he talks to them and he's comfortable and he makes them feel comfortable. That just made me feel so good and so proud of him. And then to be able to just be standing next to him, you know, helping him and offering a helping hand. I mean, we were there handing out water bottles, handing out extra masks, because what people didn't understand is that it was a very hot day.
Well, you did mention too how, you know, there was no shortage of some drama on the trip to DC, but what I thought was really hilarious is that we see your mother-in-law, Evelyn, bail when things get too heated at the house. So what does she think about you guys being on this show?
You know, honestly, my mother-in-law watches us on television every Sunday night at 9 o'clock. She's an avid watcher. She loves us on the television show. She is very proud of us. You know, she avoids confrontation.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like my mother. My mother would have stayed right there in the heat of it. You know, this just, she's just very different. She's very meek. She's a meek woman. And so when she saw that things were getting a little heated, she's one of those individuals that just kind of, you know, shies away, and she goes to the other side, and you know, she keeps her voice very, very low. you know, and that's just my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, but she'll talk about it with me later, you know, and she'll talk about the other later, other ladies later.
Right, right. Of course.
Trust me.
Well, it was so funny to see her talking with, I think it was Dr. Damon, and he kept saying, you know, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And she was like, no, no, no. I'm not a ma'am.
Oh,
she
oh,
was like, I'm Evelyn.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, you better not call her ma'am. Okay. She gets very offended. God forbid. She does not like to be referred to in her age.
Right.
Okay. You can't ask her age. My mother-in-law is in, God forbid, I was about to tell you her age. She still wears 4-inch heels. Okay. Let's be clear.
Wow.
Let's be clear. Yes.
Good for
yes.
her. She is like our goal. Mm-hmm. That's what we all want to be like that. You know, you never want to really be the age that you are, right? You kind of always want to have that youthful nature.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm telling you, this is why I work out.
Right.
This is why I have to keep myself together. Okay. Because if my mother-in-law ever looks better than me, I have a problem with my hands with her.
That's true. A little friendly competition never hurt nobody, right?
Okay.
Well, I want to jump ahead a little bit to the dinner. So you guys head to dinner. You do leave Lisa, Nicole, and Carrie behind, which, you know, they were running late. So I guess, like, whatever. These things happen, right?
You know, normally I would not have done such a thing. But we were with a group of a ton of other ladies, and we also knew that we had other ladies that were going to be meeting us at the restaurant. What is a girl supposed to do?
Right.
You know, I can't make other ladies wait on us, you know, just for two other ladies that are grown women who know how to get in an Uber.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, Lisa, Nicole, and Carrie, you know, they know what to do. You know, I know my girls. They knew that they were not upset at all. They took an Uber. It was not a big deal. It was fine.
Yeah. They found their way.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to talk about Giselle and Robin coming because I love Real Housewives of Potomac. But before that, Heavenly calls Anila your Muppet, but she quickly apologizes. I think she recognizes maybe it was a little rude, but what was that all about?
Come on. Now, come on. First of all, let's acknowledge that Heavenly always apologizes to her. So her apologies are very weak.
Because they're so frequent.
Okay. They have no substance. Right. They have no substance. All right. So clear now. So that means that she meant what she said. All right. And at the end of the day, you know, I thought it was very rude as well. I think that what she was trying to say is that when she sees a friendship, you know, I think she just wants to attack it. And I think that she's just a little jealous of it
right.
at the end of the day. I think Heavenly's friendships are, you know, they come and go, you know, and I think Heavenly is like a little bulldog. She gets a little jealous
yeah.
and then she gets on the attack, you know, and it is what it is. And you know how Heavenly is. She likes to attack the new girl. So.
Right, right. But easy target, right?
Easy target. I don't know if Anila was an easy target. I think she has a little bark to her, you know. We'll see.
That is true. So Giselle and Robin come to dinner. I think they technically come through Heavenly, like Giselle is friends with Heavenly, but how well do you know them?
So I met Giselle when she came to Kenya's baby shower.
Okay.
And we hit it off pretty well. She was really, really sweet. We sat at the same table. We talked the whole time. She was really nice. That was my first time meeting her friend, and she was really sweet at the table as well. We talked the whole time we were there. So they were both very, very nice. I mean, I haven't had any issues with them along the way. I love their show, The Real Housewives of Potomac. All the ladies seem very, very nice.
Yeah, so good. I mean, I'm just like obsessed with all of them. I mean, they're just so, so amazing.
Yes.
So I loved to see them pop up. And it was also funny to see because, you know, on Potomac, Giselle has a tendency to stir the pot a little bit. And there were a couple questions she asked throughout dinner, just like checking in on everybody. I think she had a question for Lisa Nicole that was like, well, you were having problems in your marriage, weren't you? And it's like, oh.
I know. Oh my God. I kind of was looking like, girl, don't have us ask about your marriage now or your ex now.
Right?
Come on now. Okay.
That is true.
Now you see, I kept quiet. I didn't want to be nice. I didn't want to be nasty. I kept quiet.
Right. Well, you did keep quiet until a little later on in the conversation, Contessa brings up cheating and it kind of raises everybody's eyebrows. I mean, definitely as a viewer, it was like, where is this coming from? So in that moment, what were you thinking?
It has been consistent. You know, only because it's been consistent. It's been, it seems like every opportunity she gets, you know, she almost is hinting.
Right.
That there's something that's making her nervous in her marriage.
Yeah.
You know, because I would not say that my husband is possibly cheating. Or I would not say that I think my husband is cheating. I don't think my husband's cheating. He better not be cheating. You know what I'm saying? That would never come out my mouth.
Well, right, especially in mixed company. I mean, it was a lot of people at that table.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it in any company. I wouldn't say it by myself. Okay, I'm not even going to talk to God about it. I'm going to say, Lord, God told me that he's faithful
right.
to me. Okay, so I don't understand these words just coming out of her mouth. So that's why we kind of look like, huh? You know, every time she says it.
Right, right.
It's just kind of awkward. It's very awkward.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and so I'm at a place now where I'm just kind of praying for my friend.
Yeah.
You know, but I also thought it was a little shady when, you know, in her green screen, she then says to, you know, well, Toya, I wish you wouldn't have said too much information about her husband. But then at the table, it's like, oh, thank you for telling me that, Toya, about you and Eugene.
Well, right.
Testosterone. I was like, what?
Right. So, yeah. So you mentioned that you and Eugene, you know, kind of went through a bit of a rough patch and then you started taking testosterone. So, like, give us an update. How are things in your love life now?
Oh, God, much better. Much better. You know, because, you know, honestly, that is a very serious situation that a lot of people just, you know, especially in the Black culture, you know, a lot of men just do not go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, and a lot of physicians do not go to the doctor.
Isn't that funny?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It really is. I mean, I have a friend right now who has colon cancer, Black male. And it's sad because you're like, this could have been prevented. This is something that if we just took regular checkups, we could catch it so early.
Right.
You know, and with my husband, his father died in his 50s, you know, wow. And I'm like, look, this is something that we have to take seriously. You know, and to catch this, you know, when I was watching him during this COVID, you know, he went through a point where I was like, is he depressed? You know, what's happening here?
Yeah.
You know, so I had to push him to go to the doctor. And it just so happened that we figured out that it was low testosterone. But imagine if it was something else.
Right.
You know, but thank God there's something for it. You know, menopause is real.
Yeah, no, truly. And I mean, and at the end of the day, it's just important to go and get it checked because like, even if it's not as bad as you think it is, it's still something that can be treated. So just yes. Go and do it.
Yes, yes, yes. Because God forbid this woman at 45 not have sex, honey.
We cannot be having any of that.
Exactly.
All right. So what's the deal with like Anila and her finances and, you know, not paying the hair and makeup people? We see you guys have a conversation in the car and, you know, you're a little bit like, what's going on here? Are you overspending? What's happening?
You know, I just feel like my friend, you know, is going through a situation where it was very familiar for me because I remember those times when, you know, I wanted a lot. You know, I had this thing where everything, you know, you just want, you know,
yeah.
But you're not sitting down and you're not realizing that you have to budget in order to maintain. And I think that Anila has to realize that life is not about spending, but it's something that her husband just has not introduced to her.
Right.
You know, her husband handles all the finances, you know, and you're going to start seeing more of their dynamic in their household very soon in the episodes. And I think it's in their Indian culture where the man just handles everything. And therefore, Anila has not learned that.
Right.
You know, earlier on, we had a conversation at the table with her father, and her father even said that, you know, they spoiled Anila. You know, and it was like, wow, you know, it's just something that she just never really has grasped.
Right.
And I think that, you know, she's going to get a rude awakening very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Well, and I appreciate that you also, as her friend, you know, you're kind of like, how much is blogging really bringing in, girl? Because like that, yeah, you know, that came up early in the season. I think Heavenly is like, blogging, what are you talking about? You know, we talked about it on our show. Like, how much are you really getting from that?
I mean, because it can bring in some money, but you got to have the followers. Right. And I mean, if you look at her followers, she got like less than 100,000. So I'm like, girl, come on now, stop. Like, let's be real. Like, I mean, if you're bringing in some real cash, then okay, great. But if not, then let's slow down the spending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and it's,
and this is just for, this just as a friend, as a friend, because a financial problem can ruin a marriage.
Yeah.
It really can. Right. You know, so I was just trying to help her out, you know.
And there is a difference between like getting free products sent to you to post about than getting like paid cash money to do
exactly. And what are the, and those products, let's be clear, they're skincare, you know, they're right. tops. And they're, you know, come on now. Right.
Well, you know, that's not the only thing that is being discussed when it comes to finances, because we're also hearing this season that Quad has had some things to say about your finances. So how do you respond to that?
You know, honestly, it's really sad, because I feel like my friends love to comment about my husband and I when we are in a great place in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were in a negative place, you know, when we were renting and they were happy to come over and drink and party with us, but they're not celebrating us when we're in a great place in our life.
Right.
They're looking for reasons to bring us down, lie, come up. They're trying to find anything. And it's just really sad, you know, and I don't understand it. I don't understand friends that just can't be happy for you, you know?
Right.
And so I feel like maybe they're at a place in their life where they're just miserable.
Maybe, you know? They're projecting a little bit.
Yeah. 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 And it's sad, but you know, with that, you just have to pray for your friends and hope that, you know, God changes their life so that they can stop projecting on you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Well, like I mentioned earlier, we've seen Lisa Nicole this season, Carrie, a couple familiar faces back in the mix, but I'm very curious to know, mm-hmm. are you still in touch with Mariah?
So I haven't seen her or spoke with her in such a long time. I mean, the last time I saw her was at the reunion in New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, I don't know, it was like she just dropped off the face of the earth after that. And I don't know if it's because she just felt, you know, like we weren't attached anymore, all of us. You know, I don't know what we did to her, but it's really sad, because I know I do pride myself on trying to keep the ladies together. And it, you know, nobody ever wants to see this circle fall apart.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I guess there are times when people just have to, you know, move on. And, you know, Mariah just has moved on from us, actually. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's how it goes. But it was interesting to see your journey with her, because I think it was just last season, right, that you were kind of having her back and supporting her through the drama with Quad. So
yeah. 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 It's been so many times. I mean, I brought her back in New Orleans.
Right.
So like,
right. Give me a call.
But you know, girl, we only do it so many times. So now at this point, I just kind of, you know, I got to let things happen as they may.
Well, let's get to Dr. Jackie's self-love party. So you show up and you're actually pretty quiet, which is not like you, Toya. So what is going through your mind when you arrived?
You know, at this point, I've just decided to, I've kind of been giving myself some talks, and I was like, you know what, either I'm going to have peace of mind or I'm going to give them peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right.
You know, and I just decided I'm gonna have some peace of mind. So I was like, I'm just gonna come in and I'm just gonna let these ladies do what they do, because every time I give an opinion or I say anything, there seemed to be some sort of an attack. And so I just sat back and I just watched, and really and truly, I didn't understand what the self-love was about, because they were talking about products that
were about your vagina and entertaining your vagina.
And other things too.
Yeah, I just didn't understand. And I was confused. And so
You're like, let me just sit back
right.
and watch this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, at the party, Anila confronts you and she says she's been hearing things that you've been saying about her. So clear it up. Were you talking about her in the neighborhood?
You know, here's the deal. I've known Anila since she was introduced to me by our builder. And there's nothing to really talk about with Anila. Anila, I've said nothing but positive things about her. She's a fun girl. I've brought her around, you know, my group as far as my tennis team. And I didn't even know where this was coming from. She blindsided me there. And I was looking at her like she was crazy. I felt like she went, started hanging with Heavenly, and the next thing you know, she became a nut. And so I was just like, what are you talking about? It was very random. And so I just, honestly, I have no reason to talk about Anila. I don't talk about any of my friends. You know, in this whole group, they all will never tell you that that's something that I do. You know, I'm very authentic. I've always been very honest, very truthful. And so Anila just seems like a nut. And she just seemed like she was looking to start some type of, you know, discord with me. So I just was like looking at her like she was a child. And I just, at this point, I just was like, girl, this isn't the time or place, you know?
Right. It did seem like maybe she was like trying to create a moment and you were just like, I'm not having this right now.
Girl. Right. Not today. Call me on the phone, girl.
Well, going into the reunion, you know, what are some issues that you're thinking about? What do you want to address when you get there?
You know, I guess what's most important for me is just addressing what friendship really is for me amongst this group of ladies and making sure they understand that I need their support, you know, and, you know, making sure I understand, you know, where they're coming from, where the attacks were, you know, was about, what the attacks were about, was about from all of them. And really, I guess, you know, you're going to see throughout the rest of the season that, you know, I try to mend a lot of relationships, you know, and just, you know, really getting clarity, you know, from every last woman on the stage on, you know, why they felt the need to, you know, treat me the way they have over the years and my husband.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, you know, where that's where I'm going, because really, you know, I feel like I've been on Married to Medicine, you know, from the beginning. And there's a lot of ladies that I've brought on Married to Medicine and introduced to Married to Medicine. And I just feel like they treat me in a very disrespectful way.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it's warranted. And so I want us to go forward in a way where we all are, you know, we're sisterly. We're having more fun, you know, but we're respectful.
And yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like you got a couple things to clear up, but I think that's a good intention with going in. Well, my last question for you, Toya, you recently announced a collaboration with, I believe it's Alorum Skincare. So what's the latest on that?
Yes. So basically, you know, I actually, she's my great aunt and she lives in the California area, and she has been trying to get me to collab with her for years because our grandmother had some, you know, some mystery secret ingredients. And so now, you know, yes. So now I just was like, you know what, let's do it. And so we have an amazing line as far as facial mask, as far as cleansers, and you'll see those that I'll bring about later on in the season. Hopefully they'll show them, but they're just amazing skincare products. You know, they are organic, and maybe next season we'll be able to really walk you through the process of how we got started, but it is an amazing skincare line. Everybody's always asking me about my skin regimen. So I was like, you know what? Right. And that is the classic Instagram question. So let me just, you know, share a little bit. And so basically it's just me and my great aunt, Maxine, and she's always been
one of my mentors, and so we just had decided to work together on that.
That's
product.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Plus family. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Toya, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it, and I'm so excited to see the rest of the season.
Oh, thank you. I'll keep watching. It gets better.
All right, thanks, Toya.
All right.
Oh, I mean, it's already so good. How could it possibly get any better?
It's gonna get really good. Actually, it's gonna get even better. Trust me.
You're like, you just hold on.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Toya. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. See you later.
All right, New Jersey?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, is Louis hot? I can't decide.
Teresa's new guy, I think, actually reminds me of Joe. Am I wrong? Do they not have like something similar happening in their face?
I guess skinny Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm cringing.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just, I was just automatically unnerved by him because, you know, there's nothing, and I'm not trying to be judgmental. I mean, I've only been doing this for very, very short amount of time, but I've been watching these shows for years after years after years. I find the plus ones that come on that are super comfortable on camera right off the bat.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I said the same thing to Eric where I'm just like, it's not that I don't think Teresa is great. She absolutely is, mm-hmm. but she has four daughters,
yeah.
you know, and she has a lot of baggage. Why is he so interested in getting so serious so fast?
Well, what we do know is that they have an investment property together now, so that mm-hmm. could be a point of interest.
That's weird to me. Super that is weird. The strange part to me. Like, I would almost prefer them to get married than to just be putting their money together. That seems odd.
I also just think after everything Teresa has been through, to be financially tied to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, don't sink with that ship again. I was just naturally unnerved by how comfortable he was just with her on camera. Like, even to be like, can I come kiss you? He was so comfortable. And I've never liked that or never been comfortable, because then I'm just spinning like a tail and going, okay, there's just more to this. And what do they really want from this person? Because, you know, having cameras around you, you're supposed to be a little bit awkward. You're supposed to be caught off a little guard. There's nothing comfortable about it the first time you're on. And he was almost too comfortable. So I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah. And he is coming into the relationship in some ways, probably with a preconceived notion of Teresa, because she is one of the most famous housewives out there. Like, my dad can name Teresa by name. You know what I mean? And he does not watch any of our shows. So there's a chance, a strong probability, that he did know who she was when they met. And so for him to come in with an idea of who she is, what she's been through, all of that, but for her to have no point of reference for him, it does start off the relationship with a bit of it's a bit off balance.
It is. I found that to be true too. 100% I agree with you. And I also just thought that, okay, if you know that you're sitting here having lunch with this woman and this is the first time you're going to be introduced to the world as Teresa's boyfriend, I don't know, maybe don't ask for that kiss at the end of the date. But she's so cute and she's gushy over it. So it's almost like, you know what? Let her be happy.
I know. It's like, do we want to just like let her have this moment? Like, should we just let her have it?
Yeah, I feel like,
On the flip side, we have a very long-term married couple going through it. We have Joe and Melissa with all of this stuff that they're going through. I don't know. Part of me does agree with Margaret, and things that Joe have said have come across as chauvinistic and all of that. But do we think in some way that Joe is being punished for simply expressing his feelings, whether we agree with them or not? He is communicating with Melissa about how he feels. So I don't know. I feel kind of bad for him in some sense.
I do too. I feel like, you know, she defends him with the girlfriends and says, you guys can't call him chauvinistic and don't talk about my husband. And she actually, at one point, she's like, that's how he speaks. Did you guys just meet him? Do you know who you're talking about? That's how he is. But when he's having the same conversation with her, she's not accepting of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of feel for him a little bit because it's almost like he's really trying and almost begging her to like give me more attention. And I feel like that's at least better than like, I just don't give a shit anymore if you don't care.
That's true.
Like he wants to be included. He wants to be part of her life. He wants to feel like they're still together in on this marriage and each other's successes and stuff. And I somewhat feel for him, I'm not gonna lie.
I also can't help but think that it makes him look extra bad because like what he's saying is you're working all the time. But I think what he's actually talking about is how into the fame she is.
Correct. Mm.
And that's maybe something that they're like, that's too fourth wally. We don't want to like break that. So we're just going to say job. And therefore it puts him in a bad light. But I think that it is a different conversation to be like, you used to be this nice girl who was just happy to be a wife and mom, but now you care about doing the red carpets. You care about doing the interviews. You care about the this and the this way more than you did before.
Right.
And when I was interviewing Kathy Wakili on Life After Bravo, she definitely sort of alluded to that when talking about Melissa, that like, she was like, for some people doing this reality show is just part of your life. For Melissa, like it's her whole life, like to be on TV. And she was like, and I think that that kind of messes with you as a person.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
And the other girls have called her out on it in previous seasons, you know, just even like during the reunions and stuff, they've called her out on like how obsessed or self-obsessed she's become. I mean, I love her. I think she's gorgeous. I think she's hot. I think she's a great mom. And I always thought they had like a great, great chemistry and passion for each other. So it's sad to see them going through this, but I think you're right. I think that he's just not able to articulate exactly what he's feeling for many reasons. You know, he's being shut down for saying what he actually wants to, or she's just not receiving it in a way that he needs for it to be heard. And I think at the end of the day, he just wants her to come home from all the work that she puts in and just be a wife. Cause he did say, you know, cause she was like, what about the 10 years that I sat at home, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, yeah, but when I come home, when I came home, who was my entire world?
Yeah.
And there's truth to that. Like you can do what you need to do to be who you are. But when you come home, you're a family. And you are a wife and you are a mom.
Yeah.
So,
well, and to be fair to what he was saying about Dolores in the previous episode was pretty chauvinistic, but I don't know if he is necessarily trying to be that way towards Melissa in this particular argument.
I would agree. I think there's a lot of deflection there. I think like calling Melissa broken and I mean, calling Dolores broken and then Melissa having Joe's back and saying, don't talk about my husband that way. And don't you guys understand that he doesn't mean things like that? And that's the way he speaks, but doesn't receive it herself that way. I think they're just deflecting from what's actually their problem.
I'd be so curious, Bali, to hear your take on the Dolores and David situation, because you and O'Malley have been in a long distance relationship for a while and you've made it work and you have a very strong bond and connection. And I think this season in particular, we've seen a lot of the cast really get on Dolores for not making more progress in her relationship with David. So what do you think?
You know, I'm all about like what makes you happy needs to stay that way. And that's not every day, all day. Like it changes. You know what I mean? Like today something makes me happy, tomorrow something else might make me happy. And I've always said that O'Malley and I, we've been together for almost 7 years and the whole time it's been long distance. And we're together because we want to be together. Like we FaceTime sleep every night because we want to have that closeness with each other. So I'm all about Dolores doing what she needs to do for herself and make her own rules as far as her relationship is concerned. I think, however, where the lines get blurred is having almost a marriage-like relationship with her ex-husband is where everybody's like, okay, what the fuck? Because obviously you're you're capable and you're capable of being in a relationship where you're still dependent on somebody for companionship and for, you know, like, I just, it confuses me. I'm, I get where she's at with David, but I don't get the Frank and her thing. And I think that's, I think the girls are too scared to bring the Frank thing into it because we all love Frank.
Right. He's like the most loved right. cast member on the show.
Right. Yeah. And then you can't mess with somebody's ex-husband / baby daddy and stuff, right? You can't mess with that. But I think at the crux of like all of that is pretty much like, what the fuck is going on? Because I think if it was just about David and her, they would leave it alone.
Yeah.
But it's not just David and her. It's her, David, and Frank. Right.
And even Frank and David, they're practically in a relationship too. So it's exactly. just like a throuple, really.
Yeah. So like, if it was just about her and David, I'm like, go girl, make your own rules. You're a big girl and you have every right to be like, okay, I'm ready when I'm ready. But it would be weird if like, you know, that's how it is with O'Malley and I. O'Malley and I are together. But like, if I was super functional with my ex-husband and not progressing with O'Malley, like, I think that's confusing a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I think a lot of your friends would probably call you out for that.
yeah, absolutely. So I'm confused by it.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm so ready for this reunion, I have to say.
Oh my God, I know.
Right?
I think we're going to get all of this and more, like, sort of addressed and talked out.
I do have a problem with the whole Dolores thing being a poll, though. Like, I'm saying I'm confused by it, but there's one thing for girls to have an intimate conversation about what they think their girlfriend is going through, and it's another thing to take a poll on it. Like,
oh, absolutely.
We all know polls are meant for a winner and a loser, and when it comes to your friendships, you don't want them to be on the losing side of anything.
Right. Absolutely.
So to take a poll on it, I thought was a little, I don't know. I just thought it was unnecessary. Yeah, exactly. I didn't think it was mindful. I thought it was unnecessary. But again, I think it was just deflection of what's happening in their relationship.
Who had the best Halloween costume?
You go first.
I would say.
Oh, I think Dolores.
Yeah, I would say Dolores for sure.
I would say Dolores for creativity. I think that was really great considering she's like owns all of her surgery. I love it so much.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I thought Teresa, I mean, I wasn't expecting Teresa to be as campy and creative.
Yeah, me neither.
I was like, oh, okay, girl. Like, she did the wig. She did the sparkle. She did it all. So I gave her an A+ for effort.
Yeah, I get that. I was confused the first time I saw it on Instagram because I was like, is she cotton candy or a unicorn? And then I realized Same. That horn is supposed to be the cotton candy holder.
So you know what? When one of them was like, oh, you look like a fairy.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought the same thing. Yeah. I didn't get the cotton candy. I thought it was a horn too. But like, as confused as I was just like, okay, she didn't just use this to put herself in another tight dress and
right.
put like more extensions on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, she went with the campy actual like costumey look. And I appreciated her for that.
I kind of wish she had just put on like a massive pineapple costume, you know, just like no figure fitting at all. It's just like this giant round thing and all you see are her arms and legs and face, you know.
That is so funny.
Maybe next year.
That is funny. Don't think that I haven't started ordering tequila and pineapple juice though.
I'm telling you, that's a great combo. Honestly, it's a dangerous combo because you don't realize how much tequila is in there. The pineapple really cuts it.
It's delicious. It really is delicious.
Any final thoughts on Jersey?
No, just ready for the reunion.
I am too. I'm super ready to see how Melissa and Joe like navigate through this.
Yeah, same.
I love them. So I hope well.
Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's start with you, Bali. What was your Rose of the week?
Oh, what was my Rose of the week?
It can be something from the shows or it can be something in your life because like everyone is obviously super excited for the new season.
I'm going to tell you the Rose of the week, as far as the shows are concerned, was Ebony calling out the word help because, like I said, on a personal level, I want to learn.
Mm.
So it struck a chord with me where I was like, okay, this is a learning moment for me. So that was a rose for me because I'm always wanting to learn. And on a personal level, Kentucky Derby. I mean, damn, that was so fun. I'm still hungover from it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Megan, what was your rose?
I think my rose was, but Jennifer Aiden, just because when she's drunk, I just am so entertained. And it just happened so fast. And it just is, she's consistent and I love it.
Are you drunk?
Yeah, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her husband was pretty drunk too.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my rose is Bill Aiden. Yeah. And I think it's literally just him in general. Like, I'll give him my rose of the Jersey season because I just have found myself adoring him in ways I didn't think I would. But also in this particular episode, the way he calls Joe out and is like, you need to listen to your wife, like, regardless mm-hmm. of how you're feeling, whatever she's saying is something that you have to listen to, understand, and help her and yourself move forward in this issue.
Yeah.
So you get it, Bill Aiden. You get it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for the house husbands of Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Watch What Happens Live, like, fake yes. intro that they did with taglines? Yes. Oh, so good.
Yes. I love each and every one of them, and I'm so ready for them.
Okay, let's do Thorn.
Okay.
What was your Thorn, Bali?
It's a tough one because there was a couple, but the one that sticks out the most, I feel, was Marlo going after Portia's looks and saying yeah. she needs yeah. lipo. I just thought, like, there's just some things that are not okay, and that's not okay.
Megan, what about you?
Well, we didn't talk about the Dallas reunion, but I will say that I was disappointed in Cameron in this reunion, because I feel like, as we were talking about the help and, you know, wanting to learn, I feel like Cameron didn't do enough listening and enough wanting to learn about why the things that she was saying and doing were hurting Tiffany's feelings. And I just feel like at the end of the day, like, just take it in. You don't have to be so reactive. And I think that that's where she lost me.
Yeah.
Mm, fair.
I agree.
Totally fair. Yeah.
Dr. Tiffany forever.
What was your thorn, Eric?
My thorn is from Married to Medicine, and it's Dr. Simone's husband, Cecil, talking about losing his dog, Sam. Anytime I hear something about an animal, remember a couple of weeks ago, Megan, it was Colin from Below Deck yeah. Sailing Yacht who lost his dog. Like, that's just always going to be my thorn every single week. I don't even have a pet, aww. But I just, like, feel so affected by people. And Bali, you too. I hope your dog, you know, is doing okay and she recovers just fine.
Truly, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome. Well, Bali, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so fun.
Yes. Thank you. This was fun.
Please. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry if I had, like, verbal diarrhea, but...
No, this is great.
No, that is what we need. Yay. On this podcast. Well, Bali, remind everyone, Family Karma, when does it return?
June 2nd, Wednesday at 9 p.m., right after Housewives of Beverly Hills. So woo. I can't wait, and I hope you all stay tuned.
You will.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bali.
Thank you. Thank we'll be you. Back next week with an all new episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.